Well, thank you, Andy, and good morning to each of you. I welcome you this day into the house of the Lord, both those of you before me here in the chapel and any who might be watching through the live streaming that we have available. I do welcome you this day. I do appreciate and I'm thankful for my brother's kind introduction, and particularly pertinent because it is my goal this morning to present something for your consideration that you would apply to your lives and see how it fits, how appropriate it is. And my thoughts for this morning actually started during our reunion. On several occasions, I heard an individual from the scriptures and a circumstance referred to, which kind of got me to start thinking. And as I'm kind of prone to do, I kind of am inquisitive. I like to know a little bit more. And as I looked at it, not being critical of the way it's been used in the past or pertinent points, but I think in this particular case, there's a little bit more to the story. And then if we don't really fully appreciate it, we don't get the full impact, if you will. And therefore, we're kind of lacking when we try to, you know, apply it to our lives. And so this morning, I'm going to read several scriptures about the same event. We find it recorded in all four Gospels. And I find that significant too, because not all events are recorded in all the Gospels. And typically, you will find that if an event is particularly important or noteworthy, more and more people, you know, record and document it. So I just find the fact that all four writers of the four Gospels that we have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all found this to be noteworthy, to be included. And so this morning I want to talk about Peter. And certainly he is well known in the scriptures. He was one of the, obviously, the disciples, and one of those who were probably a little bit closer maybe than some of the others in his relationship with our Lord and Savior, and part of that inner circle, if you will. But he's over the years, one of the things that's been kind of attributed to him, incorrectly, but maybe not completely understood, is as our Lord's sacrifice, his crucifixion approached, him being kind of bold in some statements, that ultimately it seems in scriptures that he didn't live up to. His denial of our Lord before when Christ was taken and he was crucified. And so this morning I want to take a little time and look at that. So I want to read that a little bit. There's a little bit differences in the various Gospels. So this morning we're going to spend some time reading the different accounts in the Gospels, making some comparisons and hopefully giving some consideration to this. And I'd like to point a few points out. I'm going to start the one that we find recorded in Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke chapter 22. And I'm going to start with the 31st verse. Familiar words. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And Peter here responds. He says, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And Christ's response is, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Kind of piercing words here. Peter in the scriptures, you know, I find him to be a bold individual. Quick to action. Sometimes maybe a little bit too quick, that he needs to be kind of reined in a bit at times. But he was a bold individual. He sometimes frequently, you know, he's kind of talked about his lack of faith when they're out there in the boat in the storm, because he steps out there and he's walking across the waves out there because his faith wavers and he's looking at the storm, he begins to sink. But he also was the only one that got out of the boat. And so we find, as our Lord's talking about this, he also, like, he was willing to be the one to step out and take that walk onto the water. He's bold here. He's saying, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. As we find the same account over in Mark, the 14th chapter. Mark chapter 14. I'm going to start with the 26th verse. Recounting the same event, described just a little bit differently, but the same thing. It says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spoke more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise, also said they all." You know, Peter sometimes, he gets a lot of attention out there, but here it says, they all said something somewhat similar. And we turn over to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Here we find this account in the 26th chapter of Matthew, starting with the 31st verse. And then, then saith Jesus unto them, All ye, once again, he's including all them. This isn't aimed just at Peter. All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise, again, it says, Likewise also said all of the disciples. John recounts it a little bit differently, and we turn over to the 13th chapter. John chapter 13, starting with the 36th verse. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why canst I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lie down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And so when we read through these accounts, we find that Peter's pretty bold here. Seems quite confident in his answers. Nope, not me. As I read in the first one and recording a couple of the other ones, he said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. I'm willing to lay down my life for you. But then we know what happens, don't we? Peter spoke very boldly, but we find recorded here, going now back to the following verse, the events after what I've read, back into Luke now, the 22nd chapter. I read the statement that Paul had said, what Christ had said, and now we find a little time has passed. Our Lord, they've taken our Lord, and we find the events that happen here, as we record here in the 22nd chapter of Luke, starting with the 54th verse. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him, referring to Christ. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said in him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Over here in Mark, the 14th chapter. Mark chapter 14, I want to start here with the 66th verse. Recounting the same thing I just read here in Luke. But each of these Gospels have a little bit different take, a little bit different wording, and then I want to take some time and look at these things. It says, As Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the words that Jesus said unto him before the cock crow twice. And bear in mind out there that when we read this over in Mark, that's what it said. Mark is the one that says the cock's going to crow twice. The others just talk about that after the third denial. So this goes along with the way Mark recorded it. And it says, And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him before the cock crow twice, Thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Then in the account here in Matthew chapter 26, we're going to drop down from where we read before and pick up here in the 69th verse. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. And then the final account here in John, the 18th chapter. In John 18, I'm going to start with the 15th verse. John 18, 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the place of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants of the officer stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now, when we read these accounts, it's kind of easy for us to sit here comfortable in our pews, heating in the summer when it's hot, cooling, and to be critical of Peter. I mean, so quick, so boastful, so confident, if you will, but then when it came time for him to really follow through, it seems like he didn't. Without question, he denied knowing Christ. But I want us this morning to consider a few things. I want us to consider that in Luke, Peter said, and listen to his words, he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. In Mark, he said, although all shall be offended, because remember Christ said that, he said in several gospels that they're all going to be offended. It wasn't just aimed at Peter. Peter was just the one who was bold enough to say something, but then they'd record that the other said somewhat similar. So he wasn't the only one. But the scriptures record him. And I think there's an important reason for it. The scriptures make a point of identifying Peter and his response here. In Mark, it says, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. In Matthew, it says, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And in John, he says, I will lay down my life for thy sake. Our Lord, in those accounts, he said, you know, that all of them would deny him. In Mark, he says, all you shall be offended because of me this night. In Matthew, all you shall be offended because of me this night. Exact same words. And so when Peter spoke so boldly, according to Mark and Matthew, the others agreed. It says in Mark, likewise all said they all. Excuse me, I still said that wrong. I don't normally talk like this, so the scriptures can be challenging. Likewise also said they all. Matthew, likewise also said all the disciples. But you know, we read this, we can look at this, this is an event that happened, and Christ has said what's going to happen, and Peter's bold. He said, oh, no, not me. I'll go to death for you. I will lay down my life. I'll go to prison. Not me. I won't be offended. And then we jump ahead, and we see what happened, and it's, whoa, you know, kind of sad, isn't it? But you know, there's something that happened between these events. There's something that happened in between those two sections. I've given you sort of the beginning. I've given you where it ends up. But there's something that happened in between. And sometimes it's the in-between that really makes the story and makes the lesson. Because a lot of times in life, you know, we need the in-between. There's many times I hear such and such happened, so-and-so said this, and you go to them, well, what really? And there's more to the story. And I believe there's more to the story here. And it's important because this more to the story is what really brings it home to us. And so I'd like us to take some time here and consider what happened between what Peter said and what Peter did. And so we're going to go back here into Luke again. Luke, now we're going to go back to the 22nd chapter, and we're going to start with the 47th verse. Luke chapter 22, the 47th verse. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. Because remember, that was a sign that Judas had made for who Christ was going to be, for those who were coming to take him. And it said, but Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. It doesn't identify who that is, and a couple other gospels does, but we know that was Peter from John. I'm going to read that in a moment. But when it says, you know, and one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, but ye come out, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Right there begins, it says, behold, a multitude. This isn't just a few people, a multitude. and they're coming with swords and staves. As we read this account over here in Mark chapter 14, in Mark chapter 14, I'm going to start with the 43rd verse. "And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude." Back here in Luke, it was a multitude. Now it's a great multitude. So, this has got to be a lot of people. This isn't just a couple people coming out. "And with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him." And of course, this was referring to Christ. "And one of them that stood by drew a sword." This is Peter. These first three Gospels don't identify. John identifies who it is. It says, "And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple, teaching you, took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled." Now, if we would jump over here into Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew chapter 26, I'm going to start with the 47th verse. Matthew 26, 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him, and again, a great multitude, with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Now, I'm going to kind of be bold here. It doesn't really say. I doubt Peter in this situation is trying to lop off an ear. He was taking a swing, and that's where it hit. He was ready for battle. He was ready to go to war. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? I don't think sometimes, we really appreciate what Christ was saying there. He most certainly was saying, I have the ability, if I were to call for help. That's really saying more. If you read in scriptures the damage that even one angel can do. Twelve legions of angels could wipe out every living being on earth without any problem whatsoever. That's the power that he had. He's saying, not just to deal with this situation. I have enough reserves. I have enough resources to take care of everyone. If the whole world were to come against me and I were to call out, that's the power he has. But he said, I'm not. Put away the sword. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? And in the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. I said, we know that this individual here that drew his sword was Peter because of what we're going to read here now in John, the 18th chapter, starting with the first verse. We know that it's John because here it says in John chapter 18, starting with verse 1, it says, When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees came thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all the things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto him, Who seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, lest these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain, the officers of the Jews, took Jesus and bound him. As I've read through these accounts here, the Gospels tell us that it was either a multitude or a great multitude, that they came with weapons, they came with swords, they came with staves. They came to take Jesus. And they also tell us that Peter was ready to lead the charge. Now that's what he said he was willing to do, wasn't it? He was prepared to die. He was prepared to go to prison. He was prepared to go to war with his friend. He was willing to fight shoulder to shoulder in battle with his comrade. He was willing to die in the battle or be captured in prison if that's were the case. He'd said those words. That's what he meant when he was talking to our Lord and Savior. That's what he meant, and that's what he's willing to do. But that wasn't the Lord's plan, and that wasn't the way it had to be, was it? And so he wasn't prepared for what was really going to happen. He was ready to go to battle. He drew his sword, outnumbered with weapons, and he was prepared, and he swung the sword, and our Lord said, No. He was ready for war. He was not ready. He was not willing to stand idly by and let whatever happened, happened. He was not prepared to be associated with someone who offered no resistance. He was not prepared to be with someone who to the world would appear to be weak. He was not willing to sacrifice without a fight. You know, it's because the disciples still really didn't get it. See, we have the benefit of now, you know, some 2,000 years later, the scriptures and stuff. We understand how it's going to play out. But they still didn't get it. Our Lord was still struggling to try to get them to understand. They just recently, as the hour was approaching and our Lord went off into the garden to pray about in his most trying, difficult moment of his life, you know, they slept. Before that, they were arguing about who's going to be the greatest in heaven. They didn't understand this hope of resurrection. At this point in time, death was still final. At this point, they didn't understand what we read in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. They didn't understand in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's why Peter's out there. He's ready to go to battle. He's ready to swing the sword. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we can read these texts about Peter, and we can be somewhat harsh in our judgment of him. But the reality is, he's really much like we are. Because as I stand before you and I look at different people, different abilities and different ages, different genders, and we each have our own little strengths, we have our own weaknesses and stuff, but I stand here confident that it's unfortunate, but increasingly it seems in our news there's these assaults upon people that have gathered together, and it's happened in churches. As I stand before, I'm confident suddenly someone were to barge through those doors there and try to do us harm. There are some here that are going to be confronting him or her. There are some here that are going to be quickly trying to gather children and protect them. There's some that if there's an exit, we're going to be helping maybe our elderly and stuff trying to get out. People are going to, I don't have any doubt that there's going to be action happening here. Everyone may do something a little bit different. But I don't doubt that there will be people willing to meet the challenge. But you know, that's what Peter believed. And Peter was willing to do. The more difficult challenge is when it's not on the battlefield, isn't it? When it's not hand-to-hand combat. Perhaps you're in a meeting at work. We need our jobs. You're undergoing some training on your employer's policy now on tolerance and diversity. I've had to sit through many of these. I'm sure many of you have. You need this for your job, but you know around you are individuals of differing lifestyles, contrary to what the scriptures will tell us. Differing preferences on living conditions, sexuality, people of different religious beliefs. And suddenly someone says, "Hey, you're a Christian, so what do you think about this?" And the pressure's on, isn't it? It's a little bit more challenging when you know the potential of consequences, but no really perceived change for your sacrifice. It's much easier to meet the challenge on the battlefield than as the sacrifice at a slaughterhouse. Maybe it's not work, maybe it's a school classroom setting, some social gathering. Because as Peter found, I think, and if we're honest with ourselves, we find it's that kind of there where you're feeling alone, surrounded, outnumbered, and uncertain. They can be perhaps the most difficult time to make those stands, isn't it? We can be critical of Peter. And this is just my opinion. It's based on, you know, reading through the scriptures, and I believe they support it. But I believe Peter absolutely meant what he said with the way he believed it. In his mind, he could not fathom the way it played out. He was ready for the war, the battle. And I say I believe that's really meant because that's what he did. When they came to take him, there was no hesitation. It says he was the first one. He drew the sword and he was ready. When he said those words, he absolutely believed in his heart that he was, and he was willing to die. He was willing to go to prison. He was willing to lay down his life on the battlefield. But it didn't play out the way he thought. The very first person that he was willing to fend said, "Put the sword away." and voluntarily went with them. Now here's poor Peter. I mean, he's like, I know how to swing the sword. But what do I do now? What do I do now? He just went with them. If I can't use my sword, what can I do? And doubt set in. Uncertainty. Probably some fear. And he found himself denying that he even knew Christ. And ultimately, that's the battlefield that we really have to face, isn't it? Those times of uncertainty. Those times where you can't see the outcome. Those times where you fear the consequences, but you're not really sure what your stand is going to obtain or accomplish. And so the reality is that it's easy some 2,000 years afterwards to sit there and read some few verses as they're recounted there and pass some judgment on Peter. But when we take into consideration Peter's a bold assertion compared to his action, because he was willing to do what he thought and what he'd said he was going to do, but compare that to what actually happened, you know, are we really much different? Are we really much different? I don't believe so, because as I read through the scriptures, I see qualities and characteristics in all these individuals that I believe are for purpose for us to see within ourselves, with our understanding. Peter was willing to take a stand on what he thought was the way to handle it. I think probably a lot of us do that, you know. We want something, we want to accomplish something, and we pray about it, and we want the Lord's blessings, and we're ready to take off the way I'm going to do it. Peter was willing to do it the way he thought, okay, the war's on, the battle's on, I'm with you. But one thing is, the Lord's plan is a little bit different. It becomes somewhat challenging, isn't it? And to take a stand when it's not on the battlefield can offer some of the biggest challenges. Just in a group, maybe the people that don't know you, some setting, some individuals. But to just boldly say that, yes, I am a follower and believer of Jesus Christ. And then wait on the reaction. That's difficult. Or can be. It's not always, but can be. Peter found it difficult. But our Lord had a... Let me bang and find it now. Anyway, I read through other. You know, the Lord said, I think it was in, I'm not sure which one, it's one of the Gospels, obviously, but you know, I said, you know, no, you can't follow me now. You're not supposed to, he wasn't even supposed to follow them, but you will. And Peter did. And Peter, according to tradition, you know, ultimately did lay down his life as a martyr for Jesus Christ. But he had some learning and growing to do still. And so I pray this day that that's what we're willing to do. Sometimes when perhaps maybe we think we've fallen short or haven't met the mark that we've set for ourselves or believe that the Lord has set for us, you know, that we don't give up. Because Peter didn't give up. He's a very prominent figure in the gospel, the spreading of the gospel after Christ's death and his resurrection. And he stood strong, according to the traditions and the writings. And so it's my prayer this day that, you know, as we read through these, sometimes that we take time to look at, you know, the full story. And see how we fit into it as well. And encourage that sometimes maybe when the world might look at you harshly, because frequently Peter gets kind of beat up, I think, with this these events here, but history shows that he was a mighty servant of the Lord. Very prominent in the work that would follow. And very bold. And so that's my prayer this day, that we would always remain faithful and determined, even when the situation can be trying, quite uncertain. Because as our Lord said to Peter, he says to each of us that he has a plan. We don't always see it, we don't always understand it, but he has a plan. Thank you.